morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Anyone out here? Yes, sir.
McKenna's going to ask Sarah to just a couple ways on the phone.
Okay.
She has a pretty automatic there.
All right, let's be sure and pray for Michaela. All right, let's do that. So who else today? Anybody else right here? Okay, anybody in the choir? I spoke. Choir? Yes, ma'am.
Preacher, I have a doctor's appointment on the 22nd with my heart doctor. Pray everything will go okay with that.
Okay. Let's be sure and pray for that. Anybody in the choir?
I'm with Brianna's family.
Okay.
Sister Hobbs, she's going to be, she's scheduled for surgery on Monday. I forgot about that this morning. She's going to have surgery on her foot at Hughes.
All right. Anybody else? Any other prayer requests today? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today thankful for the privilege to pray. We ask you to bless and meet the need of every prayer request that has been lifted up today, those that are sick, going to the doctor, facing surgery. Lord, you know all the needs today, Father. There are people that need grace and comfort and strength during this time. We pray that your power, your love, your manifestation would all, Lord, be in accordance with the will of God, the Word of God, and that you might help people in this time, that it might point people to Jesus. Bless our time together today. Bless the singing, the preaching of your word. May everything said and done today honor the name of Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Pray for the choir at this time.
Sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved.
Well, we have been around here long enough that we know that we have a person in our church
yes.
that is trying to take everybody's position.
Yes.
Now he is working on choir director.
Yes. And he had it going good, too, boy.
Next business meeting, I think we should just turn the whole thing over to him. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's have our fellowship song. After that, I don't know if we can, but we'll try. All right. Let's see. We got hymn number 263 in the red book, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. And we will sing the first and second fellowship and come back on the last. 263 is the stand.
Thank you.
You're a little late. If you're going to do this thing, at least stay in tune with everybody. All right. I hope you're having a good day. It's a beautiful day.
Amen.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We what?
We'll rejoice and we'll be glad in it.
We'll rejoice and be glad in it, won't we? All right. Thank the Lord for the beauty of it all. Because unfortunately, it's not going to be long, is it? We're going to be having that terrible W word. It's going to be winter before we know it. So, anybody know when the first day of winter fish is? In December, isn't it?
December 21st.
So, it'll be here fast, won't it?
Could snow.
All right. Well, let's pray one for another. Let's pray as service this morning is going out over the internet. Pray that maybe somewhere beyond the airwaves it'll be a help to somebody.
Amen.
And so let's pray for that. All right, you pray for Miss Teresa. She sings for us. Sister, for that good song. Let's turn in our Bibles to the 66th Psalm. Psalm 66. While you're turning, Brother Julius, if you're out there listening, I'm going to say thank you. Brother Jude's been doing some painting around the church this week, and appreciate so much him doing that. And got a list down on the front if you would like to help do some things. We'll see if we can get some time schedules together and try to get a little bit done. I shared with the fact that the pastor from Stewart is still saying that he's going to come and help us, and there's just some things that we need several manpower to help, and we don't have. And so they're still planning to help just whenever that opportunity arises. So you remember that, and see if you can, if you're able to help out in some way, just come sign it, and we'll see if we can work some things out. But I do appreciate him coming this week and get some painting done. So thank you for that, and Lord bless you. 66th Psalm, we're going to look at last three verses of the 66th Psalm. Let's begin reading with verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings to us, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here in the house of the Lord, and we pray that you will speak to our hearts and help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. David here is speaking to us, and he shares some wonderful truths in this 66th Psalm, but when he gets to the close of this Psalm, he brings out a very startling statement. And we want to look at this today because it's very important to get some things in our Christian lives taken care of, and to, if you will, to get straight. And he says in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart. Let's take a little while and talk about what he means when he talks about the fact of regarding iniquity in our hearts. First thing I want you to see with me is this. I want you to see a singular person that is involved in this verse. If I. Now those are two popular words in the Bible. If I. They may not necessarily be linked together, but you will see them oftentimes. When you see the word if, usually it means there's a cause and an effect. That if somebody does this, something else will happen. Okay? If you say to a child, if you touch this, you will receive a spanking. Then they are going to they're going to look to see if you are going to carry out your end of the promise. If this happens, this is going to happen. God said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There is a cause and effect. If God's people do this, then I will do that. That's cause and effect. So it says here, if something happens, then what else will happen? He says, if, and then he says, I. Okay. Now, we are living in a day, sadly, where I think, and I can't judge this, I suppose, honestly, because I haven't been around for 1,000 or 2 years, but it does seem to me very apparent that we are living in a day in which people do not like to accept responsibility for their actions. I've never seen such a rise as I see on television with the advertisements of lawyers. If you have this problem, if you were in this accident, if you were involved in this kind of situation, if you were taking this kind of medicine, you have a good chance to sue the pants off somebody. That's what they're saying, basically. That bothers me. Because I also understand from what I've seen on the news that there is actually a decline in people who are studying for the law or to be lawyers. I can understand that. If lawyers are becoming as crooked as it seems, and maybe I'm being too harsh on that statement, but if it's true that lawyers are becoming as crooked as it seems, then I would not want to be part of that profession myself. A lawyer ought to be someone that tries to do what's right, try to mediate the law, try to help all parties concerned. If you've ever watched any of these law programs on television, if you take and look at some of the law programs on TV and the way they carry everything out, and then you go back to the old days of Perry Mason. Perry Mason was a Sunday school picnic compared to what happens in these TV programs today. And if the legal system is anything close to that in real life, is this what you see on television, God help us. God help us. Our legal system, what we've done, I'm afraid, is we've tied everything up in knots that you can't get anything justly done. Because you can get somebody can go free if there's one small little defect that hasn't been carried out right. Then somebody say, oh, well, we're going to drop the whole case. You've got a murderer, for instance, right there, and because of one technicality, we're going to overlook the fact that this is a murderer who's killed several people. We're going to overlook that because of one little minor dispute that took place, and that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that you and I have to pay money. I'm going out on the internet making some statements I might regret, but I don't think so. But I'm going to tell you, there's some of these people, you and I shouldn't have to pay taxes and take care of criminals. If they deserve the death penalty, fry them. That'll save a lot of money. I'd rather pay the electric bill than have to pay for 3 meals a day. When I look at the fact of what some of these inmates go through, they get 3 squares a day, they get to watch television, they get to work out with weights. I mean, they've got everything, they've got a place to sleep, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's no wonder that when they get out, they look for an excuse to commit a crime to get back in. They got it better in there than a lot of times they do out in the real world, if you will. And sometimes I think the real world might be more cruel than the penal system is. Well, we have to get away from this fact of shouldering, throwing responsibility to everyone else. Now, we expect that out of children. Somebody says, well, did you, little Johnny, did you do that? Well, no, I didn't do that. Like, little Johnny, did you eat that chocolate cupcake that was on the counter? Oh, no, I didn't do that. Now, the whole time, he's got fudge smeared all over his face, and he's got it on his fingers, but no, I didn't do that. And the whole time, he's wiping it all over his clothes, and it's like, no, I didn't do that, okay? Because he's scared to death he's going to get in trouble, but he does not understand that the evidence is very, very lengthy, and it's right there, and he's done for, okay? Because nobody wants to accept responsibility for what they do. But when it comes to our relationship with God, I must accept responsibility for my actions. I cannot, as much as I might enjoy the opportunity, I can't blame my wife. That'd be fun, wouldn't it, to blame your mate or somebody else for something you did as far as God's concerned, but you know what? It doesn't happen that way. You say, well, where does that all start? Well, that all went back to Eden, didn't it? Garden of Eden. Wasn't it a fellow named Adam? Girl named Eve? God went to every one of them and said, why have you done this thing that you have done? And Adam said, well, you know that woman you gave me? Isn't it interesting? He did not say, my dear, sweet, adorable, darling wife, the precious love of my life by the name of Eve. Oh, I just love her so much. No, a woman you gave me. Well, who are you trying to blame, Adam? Sound like you're trying to blame God because you said the woman you gave to me. Now, if you hadn't given her to me, this would have never happened. Okay? Then he looks at Eve. Eve, why did you do what you did? Well, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Some of you remember Flip Wilson. And Flip Wilson, you say, the devil made me do it, honey. And the devil never makes you do anything. Now, he sets the snare out there, and the devil knows exactly what every one of our weaknesses are. And he knows exactly what messes us up. He knows every one of our weaknesses, and don't think he doesn't. And don't think he doesn't have his little demons and imps and everything else looking around and watching us and taking notes. Because they know about as much about us as anybody can by observation, because there's only one person who knows the heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God in heaven that knows that. The devil does not know your heart. I got news for you. The only way the devil knows anything about you and me is we tell him. You say, well, why would I tell the devil this? But have you ever just been by yourself and started talking to yourself? Now, people say you're crazy, but I can't think of anybody more intelligent for me to talk to than me. Okay? And so that's all right. I don't mind. But you know what? Do you ever just kind of tell yourself, you shouldn't have done that? What got into you? You're talking to yourself. What in the world? And guess what? There's some demons taking notes. Said, okay, we got this one down. I wonder how many notebooks the devil's got on me. Surely there must be some, but there's one who knows everything about my heart, my insides, my emotions, my thinking processes, my heart, and that is God and God alone. And he says, and if I, verse 18, if I, that's a singular person, me. There are three people that give me a fit in my life, me, myself, and I. Okay? So there's a singular person, if I. Now, notice this. Second thing, not only a singular person, there is a secret place. Verse 18, and if I regard iniquity in my heart. Let's talk for a minute about the word regard, and what does the word regard mean? The word regard means to have respect for something. If I hold somebody in a high regard, then that means I respect them. Now, did you ever think about the fact that it is possible for human beings to respect sin? Now, in my life, I have found this, that I have had a continual relationship all the days of my life with food. Food and I get along real well. We have such a close relationship, it doesn't want to leave. That's the way it is, isn't it? It's tough. There are some things that we have respect toward. There are some things that we lift up. There are some things, and the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I have sin in my life. Now, let's differentiate between two kinds of sin. There is sin that you know. The Bible talks about Hebrews chapter 11. There is a besetting sin that we all have. I mean, there's something that'll take us out every time. But that is a sin that we know and God knows, and we know God knows that we have this sin problem. And we may even go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm having some real trouble here. Now, granted, this may be a sin that we might not call an astronomical, wicked, evil sin, but it's still a besetting sin that according to the writer of Hebrews, can mess us up. That's one kind of sin. But then there's another sin, because he says this. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart. The strange thing about us as human beings is this, that we can have a sin. A sin that is so deep down in our secret places
Nobody knows about it. We take very good care to make sure nobody knows about it. But we forget that God does know about it. Now, I don't know if that makes sense. There's one side of the fence that, yes, Lord, I have a problem. This problem is, you know, and Lord, I'm taking it to you and I need help. And I need help every day with this particular issue in my life. But then there is that little one over here that we, for some reason, think we're going to not only keep it hidden from everybody else, but we're going to also keep it hidden from God, and God knows nothing about it because we are hovering over it and He can't see. We hear of people on the news. I don't know, and I'm just going to use this for an example because I don't know the story behind all this, but it doesn't surprise me, but you've heard the I'm going to use the word in quotations, the scandal that's come out concerning Herman Cain. And I don't know all of the story behind that. You know, everybody and their brother's going to get into the election thing and the politics, and there's going to be, but you know what, but let's just say this, that anything that you do as far as being a public figure is somewhere down the line going to come out. It just is. Now, we can say something that we know for sure because it came out. I tell you, somebody, you know, there was Senator John Edwards, the one that ran for president, and he was cheating on his wife. Nobody wanted that to come out. It did come out. It just destroyed him as far as his election. And then on top of that, he left his wife for this other woman, and then his ex-wife was found to have cancer. Now, don't you think that made him a villain in the eyes of the public? I don't think John Edwards could even be elected dog catcher now because of the persona. He didn't want anybody to say that. He didn't want anybody to get up and find out that he was having a relationship. What about Mr. Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? I never did hear Mr. Clinton one time in the time he was office genuinely repent for what he did. He never said, "I was wrong." He just covered it up, used pretty words, went all the way, danced around it. But the Bible says that that is sin. And if either of these men were Christians, and doesn't to me seem like there's evidence that they are, God knows, I don't. But a Christian that tries to keep that thing hidden to even the place that God, that we have the idea God does not know what's going on, that's a very bad mistake. You know what would be better is if I come before the Lord and I tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm having some problems. There is an issue in my life that's giving me a fit, and I'm having a hard time with it, and it's hard to shake, and God, you know all about it, and I need you." You're better to throw yourself at the mercy of God than to take it and to regard and respect that iniquity in your heart, thinking even God Almighty doesn't even know what's going on. There's a secret place. And that secret place sometimes needs to be cleaned up. There's a singular person, there's a secret place, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then there is a startling promise. Look at the rest of that verse, the Lord will not hear me. If there's unconfessed sin, God's not going to hear me. I mean, that's what he said. You can't get any plainer than that. Look at the statement. The Lord will not hear me. He's not going to listen. He's not going to hear what I've got to say. The Bible talks about that our iniquities have separated between ourselves and our God. He said that in the book of Isaiah. And sometimes we misunderstand what that verse means. It does not mean that there is a separation necessarily between God and me. What it means is it says your sins have separated. Our sins, the more we continue on in sin and do not confess our sin account grows. And it forces us, and it comes between me and God, and it forces a division to where I have no close relationship with my God because my sins have separated between me and my God. They've done the separating because they've gotten bigger. And when they separate, then it separates me and God. You say, well, can that happen? You know what's so sad and tragic is I studied this Bible. It's all kinds of records in this Bible of Christians that went through that very thing. You know who comes to my mind first is King David. King David, think about David. David was a teenager. He was a shepherd. His brothers had gone off to fight a battle and he was so curious. And his daddy Jesse told him, go take some food to your brothers and see how the war's going. And he got there and he listened to Goliath. And Goliath was running his mouth. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the God of Israel and the army of God? Why? Well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he was ready to jump out from behind the barracks and jump on that big old giant. But you know the story. We cut to the chase. He goes out. He takes the 5 smooth stones. Takes one of those stones. Wham, and he's dead, and they cut the head off. And here he comes into Jerusalem. And they're singing songs. And they're saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. And from that time on, you know the story with Saul. Saul had a problem with a green-eyed monster called jealousy. But this is interesting because now, as a teenager, David is a great man. What a victory. And then you look and you see that the older he got, he became such a military strategist. He was awesome. And a warrior and a fighter and a musician.
What a man.
But do you remember a woman by the name of Bathsheba? How that after he had been in war and he was resting and recuperating and he had slept all day, he went out on the top of the roof of the palace and he looked and he saw a woman sunbathing. He looked upon her. You know the story. He took her unto himself. Now wait a minute, this is the same David that back over here had slain Goliath. They sang his praises. They made him king. What a great man. But over there, some years later, you do not know how many, he commits adultery. You know the next phase. He committed murder because he tried to have her husband come in to have a leave and hopefully to cover the sin up. And he was such a patriotic man. He would not go and spend time with his wife. He guarded the door of the king. What a great man Uriah was. But he said, all right, he sent word. He said, I want you to make sure that when he gets back to the field, he said to Joab, push him into the heat of the battle and make sure he dies. Adultery, murder, but over here, sweet victory. Look at his home style. David never dealt with sin in his family's life. Did you ever notice that? He had children, and every one of those children, with the exception of Solomon. And Solomon wasn't the greatest in the world, because Solomon had his problems, but his other children were messed up. Do you know why they were messed up? Because he never dealt with those children one-on-one. He ignored everything. Go read his life. When he was having trouble with Absalom, what did he do to Absalom? Get rid of him, Lee. I don't want to see him. All I think Absalom ever wanted was to sit down and talk to his daddy, but his daddy said, get rid of him. I don't want anything to do with him. Can I say this? He was not a good daddy. He had, wait a minute, that's the one over here. David hath slain his 10,000. But over here, he's a murderer, an adulterer, he's a bad father. But guess what? On the other side, you say, why do I need to know all of that about him? Why did the Bible tell me? It'd been good if we just stayed over yonder with the 10,000. I'd like to just remember that David was a great man and he killed Goliath and he was such a powerful leader. I don't want to know all that stuff about his lying and his cheating and all the things that he did and his murder. But wait a minute. You'd have never appreciated this third thing had it never happened. Psalm 51. You know what Psalm 51 says? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, and I shall be whiter than snow. I'd have never appreciated Psalm 51 until I saw the mess he made back in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. You know why I had that mess? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But in Psalm 51, you know what? The Lord heard him. But it took this to bring him to this. Of all people, David, who had a walk with God, David, who was called in the Bible a friend of God, all people should have known he needed to confess, and he didn't. He didn't. But what happens? Hold your place here. Let's look at a verse. Then we'll come back to Psalm 6. But you know, when I tell you, you know where I'm going. 1 John chapter 1. Turn there just for a second. You may be here today and there is a sin in your secret place. And you're figuring out some way to get around it. Let me show you how to get around it. Number one, you can't get around it. You've got to go through it. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I want you to notice, if you hadn't thought about it, how did Psalm 66, 18 start? If I? Do you see how 1 John 1, 9 starts? If we? Same principle, isn't it? If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me! But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Give us. One of the most blessed words in the English vocabulary must be the word forgiven. I feel sorry for young people who mess up and go away from home and their parents won't forgive them. If young'uns mess up, it's because they're young'uns. If I won't forgive, I must be a young'un also because I'm not showing much maturity. But if those children need you, you need to be there for them no matter how much they mess up. I don't want the world opening their arms and taking my child if I won't help them. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you do that, let's go back to Psalm 66. Here is a sweet practice. There's a singular person, if I. There's a secret place, if I regard iniquity in my heart. There's a startling promise, the Lord will not hear me. But here's a sweet practice. If I do what 1 John 1, 9 says, look at verses 19 and 20 of Psalm 66, but verily God, of a truth, that's what that word verily means, of a truth, but of a truth God hath heard me,
And you get that thing confessed and get it under the blood, he'll hear us. It might not mean much to you, but I think it does. But a lot of people don't understand how powerful that statement is. For God in heaven to hear me is a great thing. I mean, there are billions of people all over the globe that talk to God continually 24 hours a day. And you know what's so wonderful about that? He doesn't mess up a single solitary prayer. He doesn't say, now, Brother Will Huff down there in Ringgold said something to me. I can't remember. Did that have anything to do with that fellow over yonder and that missionary over in, you know, that's going through a hard time and over in Iraq right now? I wonder if that's, you know... The Lord never had that problem. He'll never get a single solitary prayer confused. He'll never get anything out of line. He'll never mess up on it. He's all right. And he hath heard me. What a blessing. He attended to the voice of my prayer. Now, please don't let this sound disrespectful to the Lord. I'm not trying to say it this way. But I think that what that's saying is the Lord is anxious and ready and willing to hear whenever we pray. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer. But I like this one even better. Nor his mercy for me. I am so glad that God Almighty does not treat me like I treat other people. Did you hear what I just said? I am so glad that God does not treat me like I treat other people. Sometimes I get in the flesh and you get in the flesh and we say things we shouldn't say, and then we go back and we say, why'd I do that? You've heard the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Sometimes words hurt more than sticks and stones. Your body can get healing from sticks and stones. Your heart may never be healed from words. And one thing I'm looking forward to when I get to heaven is really learning, and I'm going to say it the only way I know to say it. I'm looking forward to going to heaven and learning how God ticks. Because you know what the truth of the whole matter is? I ought to be dead right now. Because of all the times I've messed up, I'm thinking, God, why are you so patient with me? Why are you so long-suffering with me? There must be something that God sees in each one of us. Or else he wouldn't be so merciful. Boy, that's a sweet practice. Now, here's the difference. When you mess up, you know what David did? David came before the Lord. When that baby that came out of wedlock, that baby died, he wept and he cried. And God forgave him. The 51st Psalm came out of that experience. You want to know what it was? Read the 51st. If you haven't read the 51st Psalm in a while, go back and read it this afternoon or tonight sometime and let that bless you. Because that's a great example of the good mercy of God. Now here's the problem, and I close with this. If David had stayed right here where he was and did what he was supposed to do when he was a victorious general in the army and later king of Israel,
And if he hadn't messed up so badly over here, it took the pain and the suffering and the humility on David's part to bring him to the place of the 51st Psalm. But I guarantee you, as sweet as that 51st Psalm is, the pain and suffering he went through right here, let me tell you something, he didn't have to go through that. There are plenty of people right now going through rough times, sin, they're regarding sin in their hearts, and they don't have to go through this. I've made this statement before. There are people who in churches all over America, let's not talk about the world, let's talk about America. Let's narrow it down to Virginia. Let's narrow it down to Pennsylvania County. There are people that confess or claim that they're Christians, and this morning in their churches, they got up in that choir and sang, and last night they was at the bar drunk as a skunk. They can get up and sing in the choir in their churches and act sanctimonious and act like they got a halo on their heads. But it's, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But God help us to do what? If we confess our sins and plead for the mercy of God, because we do deserve judgment and we do deserve hell and we deserve all of that, but it's by the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I'm going to pray, and then Brother Buddy's going to share with us our invitation. And maybe there is something on your heart that you need to pray about. Maybe there's somebody that you want to pray for. Unconfessed sin's a dangerous thing. And we need to seek the face of the Lord, you know. We really do. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to learn the great principle that we see here today. Help us to confess our sin and to keep an open account. To keep it all in the open with you. Help us to confess our sins. To lean on you concerning that besetting sin that doth so easily lead us astray. May we know you are our help and no one else. So help us today, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brother, hymn number.
Number 235, Ask Me Not.
Altar's open if you need to come and pray.
Thank you.
seated and asked Brother Will and Brother Bill, if you'll come, gentlemen, and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. Appreciate everybody that has provided for the Thanksgiving luncheon today, and then we'll have service after that at 2 o'clock, so you just better not go to sleep on me, too. I can't remember. Is it turkey that they say is a sleep inducer? There is a meat that induces sleep. Is it turkey?
Turkey.
Okay. I'm gonna get a stack of hymn books. All right, let's pray. And Brother Will, you lead us in prayer. Amen.